Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and coming back to the show once again, we have a very special guest to help us wrap up our series on Awe of God because she said she was going to come back on. So welcome back to the show, Mama Dale. Welcome back.
Hi, how you guys?
And the last time that she was on, she also said she was going to bring a guest, which she followed through on her what she said she was going to do. So would you like to introduce him?
Yes, the best hubby to me in the whole world, Pastor Barry.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't think you've been on, Pastor Barry, since we did Ask the Pastor, right?
No, this is my first time since then.
Yeah.
And I didn't come in a sense. I just found out I was coming this morning. Dale felt guilty because she didn't want to say a lie, and she wanted to fulfill her what she said, so she dragged me here this morning to be part of this.
It's because
You're happy to be here, though, right?
Of course.
It's because she has the fear of the Lord and didn't want to go back on her word, right? So she wanted to follow through, and she had to bring you on. So.
Yes, obey to completion.
So we're all joking about it, but yes, we are finishing up our series on Awe of God, and it's been a really challenging
our Sunday morning series.
Sunday morning series. The small groups are going to continue to go through it because they haven't gone through all the sessions yet, but on Sunday mornings, we are wrapping up, and so this will be our wrap-up episode as we're following along with the Sunday sermons, and it's been a challenge for a lot of people going through this series. It's been, I know in my small group, there's been people on various sides of the spectrum regarding fear of the Lord, and it's been really a lot of good conversation. So it's been challenging, but it's been good. How's it been for you guys?
Yeah, I think the same. I think I've heard multiple people sharing about their wrestling with it and struggling and having really good conversations, especially in their small groups about the issues. And wrestling is good. Wrestling is good. You have to, if you want to eat solid food and eat meat, you got to chew. You got to chew. It's going to come down hard.
Otherwise, you're going to choke, right?
That's right. That's right. Heimlich. We're going to do spiritual Heimlich on people here. So, yeah.
And I know for some people, it's been life-changing. I've heard it from a number of different people in different small groups that just the material that's getting introduced has really done something to spur in their spirit. So I'm seeing a lot of changed lives as well. And I just see the Holy Spirit just really coming upon our church and bringing this fear of the Lord to us because he wants us to know his whole self, right, and his love for us in the love of the Lord and the fear of the Lord as well.
It's funny. I was kind of reflecting on it. I actually finished the last day today, so I was reflecting back a little bit, and I actually kind of grew up more in line with the fear of the Lord, but I think there were some unhealthy aspects of it. So now I had to wrestle a lot with like God's love and grace and that, and really embrace that. So now coming back to this, I'm like, why are people having such a hard time? I know it's challenging, but why are they having such a hard time? And I'm like, oh no, it's because I had that foundation, but then the grace and the love of God has helped iron out some of those like negative ways I was doing it or viewing it. And so now with that aspect back in there, I'm like, oh, I kind of enjoy it in a sense, but it brings me back to more of like my early faith of like, oh no, there's a reverence and there's an awe. And it's not so much the fear of God, like where I have a fear of punishment, but that was the part where I had that element in there earlier. And now that part's gone. And so now it's like, oh, no, I kind of actually like it. So,
yeah, I think it's just been an interesting journey, feeling the tension between and the pull between the two of the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord. And as we continue to go, and it's taking us deeper into the river. And it's been really, for me, it's been really good. I've really appreciated this series. And as we've gone through it, especially as we've been going through it as a staff for quite a while, right? So we started wrestling with this towards the end of last year, and then determining whether or not it was something that we wanted to go through as a whole church. And we really felt like it was something that would be good for everyone to go through. So it's been something that we've been kind of tackling and wrestling with for a while. And I feel like it's been really good for my faith too, especially in terms of just when you feel like the Lord is telling you to do something, you just got to do it right away and you got to do it till it's done. So I feel like for me, that's been something that's been really huge for me in my personal spiritual journey. So this past Sunday, we've been talking about the session 6, which is the benefits of having a healthy fear of the Lord. Is there any one of the benefits that stood out to you guys in particular?
I think for me, the best benefit, he talks about a number of them, like almost 11 of them. I think Barry covered some, yeah, in the sermon. But I think the best benefit for me is when it says, if we fear God, then no other fear will grip us. Mm-hmm. Like it eliminates all other fears. So I think just for me, just in my Christian journey and Christian walk, there's always times when I get afraid of something during the week. Mm-hmm. It could be anything, something with my children, something with work, something with my health, where I feel like the enemy uses that to paralyze me and to scare me. So I think one of the benefits is if I fear God, if I keep his word at the utmost and realize everything he's saying to me, then all the other fears that the enemy tries to scare me with get dissolved. And then I think I remember in the book he says, whatever fear you still have, you kind of need to lay that at his feet. So I think that stays with me a lot. So during the week, you know, I spend time with the Lord every day, but there's always little fears I write, like in my prayer journal. So I think that benefit of knowing that Almighty God loves me so much, he's got me covered, he has my back. I know things happen to people, and I get that too, but knowing that I don't have to be afraid of that more than the Lord, I think that really helps. So yeah, that's mine, is God, fearing God eliminates any other fear I might have in life.
Yeah, that's good. I think for me, it's it just raises my view, my understanding of, like, God and his holiness, mm-hmm. and his awesome power. And actually, what that's done, it's actually deepened my sense of the love of the Lord, because you understand, you see it in this perspective of the contrast of that. And yeah, and then my own Bible reading, I've been going through Isaiah too, and you know, the first half of Isaiah, he's just railing judgments against all the nations, and it's harsh.
Yeah,
it's harsh, and it's very clear. It's And a lot of it, it's the prophet relaying prophetic words. So what he's hearing the Lord say, and the judgments are harsh and brutal. But then I think you come to that understanding of how holy God is, how, you know, how patient he is over the years, with decades, with civilizations and people and people groups and nations, and the wrath that that's building up, and then our own sin, and in light of that, the love of God, the grace of God. Yeah.
I think, Dale, the one that you shared was for me too, the fear that overcomes all other fears, because that's been the enemy's probably main source of attack in me just growing up. It was always fear this, fear that, fear of the future, fear of man. And I think understanding the Lord and his fearing him in a healthy way, really, it makes those other things seem so small and so, like, insignificant, even though it doesn't necessarily always take them away, but it allows me to see the enemy's attack through fear in a way that, oh no, I can manage that and I can get through that because of the way I see the Lord.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the benefits that he talks about is the next generations, the legacy for the next generations. And it's interesting, I was listening to a different podcast, And no, Mimo didn't send me this one. Brett sent me this one, actually.
Come on, Mimo, get on it.
It was from Jamie Winship, you know, someone that we've been talking about on the podcast. But he kind of recounts a story that's in the Bible about Elijah and when the Lord sent him to this widow, right? And she was on her last small amount of food to be able to make herself bread for her and her son. And, you know, Elijah's supposed to go there and ask her to make him some bread, right? And she was really ready to just make some for herself and her family and then die, right? But Elijah asks her to make some for him. And then in the story, the Lord, you know, multiplies the food so it doesn't run out until they were in a famine at the time, so until the famine was over. But when he was talking about the story, he talks about it in terms of, look at where the woman was. She was ready to die. And then when she died, her son was going to die with her. But because she listened to the Lord, then they were able to live, right? And so for me, it was like, how many times does the enemy like attack us as, or me, myself as a parent? And then how does that affect my kids, right? And so if I don't have the proper fear of the Lord, then I might be in this position where it's like, oh man, my life is over. I've lost hope. And then if I lose hope, then how does that, you know, fall on my kids too? What are they looking at? What are they seeing? And so having a proper fear of the Lord helps me to then be able to pass on that legacy to my kids too. And so I know that that story might not necessarily connect, you know, apples to apples, but it was just like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's, it just really stood out to me when I heard that story from Jamie Winship talking about the Elijah story. But it is cool to see that, you know, one of the things that we talked about in past episodes was like the rewards from having the fear of the Lord. And a lot of those rewards were talked about in the future, right? It's when we die and we go to heaven, there's rewards, right? But in this chapter, in this section, we talk about there are benefits that we get to receive now. And so having a proper fear of the Lord, it does affect us in the future, but it also affects us now too. So I thought that was really cool, something that was brought up in that.
Well, I mean, I was just going to ask Pastor Barry, is there anything in this book that you personally struggle with or wrestle with or you're still chewing on? Because I think it's good for our listeners to be like, well, yeah, like even you, the pastor, you're seasoned, you've been, you know, through, you're educated and all that, but yet you're still working out your faith in new ways as the Lord reveals. So is there one or two things for you that in this series that you're still chewing on, wrestling with?
I think there's a continual process of the whole reconciling together, bringing together the love of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. Mm. And then coming to deeper understanding of what is meant by fear of the Lord, right? Distinguishing it from fear of punishment, distinguishing it from being afraid of God. Mm. Although I do think just because of his presence,
yeah,
right? Being in his glory, like we will feel fear, but it's not to be afraid of. And yeah, so I think just working through, you know, there's layers to it. So you kind of work through different layers and coming to that understanding. But just for me, I could see in myself and I could see in many of our people the impact it's had. And I go, oh, no, this is totally of the Lord. I feel like the timing, having gotten into our new facility and we're ripe, and it's kind of like this coming out party for us as a church. The Lord wants us to step into and be a city on a hill, to shine, to be a light. And I think this is critical. And I know for me personally, I've shared this in messages and I've shared this with people, just carrying that weight of the Lord saying, prepare your people for the future. And I think in his goodness and grace and timing, this is going a significant way of helping to prepare people. Because I could see there's a greater intentionality. There's a greater obedience. There's a greater honoring, desire to honoring. Mm. And then I think people are experiencing the Lord at a deeper and higher level. Yeah, it's just a continuing process of, like, I think understanding how those come together. Yeah.
It seems that it's igniting, like, a passion to pursue God in a different way. Mm-hmm. And not just to kind of, like, know him and be cuddly close with him, but to, like, oh, what, whose message was that? Was Pastor Sam? Like, do you want to know all of me? Mm-hmm. Right, asking that question. And it's like, oh, I didn't even know. I think some people are realizing, I didn't even know this aspect was there available to pursue or to explore. And so now they're like kind of either curious or like, oh, no, I want that. I want to know all of you. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like too, I know I've experienced, but it seems like there's different, I don't know. It feels like, strongholds or things that are being broken to, and different ways of seeing God or viewing things. Certain lies are being exposed. I know for me, one significant thing, I think it's actually one of the benefits when he talks about the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing I think John Bevere refers to is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think what really struck me about that as I looked into it and meditated and thought about that more and more, it's like the beginning point of our relationship with the Lord, of having any understanding of God, beginning a relationship with the Lord, of experiencing God. It all starts with a fear of the Lord first. So that's really actually affected in a really good way, I think, my view of helping non-Christians come to the Lord.
Mm.
It's, yeah, we want them to know the love of God. And I think our church is very strong and talking about the love of God, the grace of God. But it's like, it's that whole thing of, you can't appreciate his grace. Mm. You can't appreciate his love until you come to the starting point of a fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, even as I'm thinking about Easter coming up, it's kind of changing my approach, like, oh, we have to help people to recognize a holy creator, almighty God. That's, you know, they have to see that, because then I think people come to a realization of their own sin and then the need for God, right? I mean, when they hear the love of God, I think they come away feeling like, oh, that's cool. That's neat, but there's no sense of urgency. They're not bringing them to the point of decision about the Lord. And I think that's been missing. Mm. And so, Yeah,
it's interesting because in my small group, someone who had shared, they said that they felt like they were kind of on the side of lawlessness. And our group looked at him and it's like, no, you're definitely not on the side of lawlessness. He said, but he's been focusing so much on the love of the Lord that now he's able to live his life and not even acknowledge the Lord in his daily life.
Mm.
It's just, and so in his mind, it's like, that's kind of like lawlessness. It's like, I'm living my life just how I want to live it. And I'm not necessarily, he's not like doing anything bad, but just not acknowledging the Lord. And so going through this book and this series and recognizing the fear of the Lord, it's like, oh, it's bringing to mind, I want to acknowledge the Lord. I want to ask the Lord what I'm supposed to do in this situation, or just bringing that intimacy that wasn't there before because the love of the Lord, the grace of the Lord just allowed him to think, okay, well, I'm going to get forgiven anyway, so I can just live however I want, right? And so, again, not to say that this person is, doing anything blatantly wrong, but just for him, it was like, oh, but I'm not acknowledging the Lord in my day-to-day decisions and the things that I'm doing. And going through this has really reshaped that and drawn him to the Lord. And I thought, oh, that's awesome revelation that the Lord gave you about that with the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So Dale, I'm curious to know, you're actually the one that brought this curriculum, this book up to us as staff. How has it been for you now going through it? This, like, you're deeper into it. You've gone through it. Yeah, third time, right? You can talk into the mic. You don't have to.
You can interrupt. It's okay to interrupt. It's just Kyle. It's just Kyle.
But how has it been? Because I felt it was interesting when you first brought it to us as staff. I felt the conviction that you had inside of, like, this is good. We need to do this. And I'm like, okay. And as we went through it, I'm like, I get it. I understand. Has that grown even more, even seeing other people being changed by it? Are you, like, where are you at with how it's turned out for us as a church going through it?
Yeah. So for me personally, right, I stumbled upon this curriculum because I'm always studying for small groups since mm-hmm. I'm small group director, mm-hmm. like which curriculums are good. So in 2024, it was one of the top three.
Oh, okay.
So I bought the top three. I looked at each one. And then this one that I did, it started changing me. Mm-hmm. Like, I started feeling conviction. I started feeling the Holy Spirit. I started being my real authentic self. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of the principles that John Bevere talks about, it was re-sparking my faith. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you fan into flame. Like, there's a fire that's always there, right? I think it's kind of who I am, but it was getting lit. Mm-hmm. So I think when I first went through it, it just blew my mind in a good way. Because even when Barry was sharing how, you know, to introduce to people about Christ, you have to say both sides. And when I first became a Christian, right, I was watching a series kind of about Left Behind. Mm. I was a very new Christian, just accepted. I saw that and it scared me, but in the best possible way. Went home, shared with my whole family, sat them all down, telling them, hey, have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? It made me get into the Word. Like, I was so curious about Revelation. It was so exciting for me. So a lot of the scary verses, I liked those because it's just something about it makes me feel so alive. And I want people to go with me to heaven. Mm. Right? So when I first did the series, I loved it. Mm. Right. And then brought it to staff and everybody's kind of wrestling with it, seeing if it was something we should do. And for me, I loved it, but I also want to lay it down because I thought, well, if the staff agrees they don't want to do it, that's fine, too. Right. So I had to keep every week. I had to like keep just laying it down, because it's not my agenda. It's like the Lord's agenda. So then seeing him do it through the small groups, I see people all over the spectrum. Mm. Some people don't care for it because I feel like it's touching on something that they might be afraid of, or it's revealing something that very unsettling. And I get that too.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I'm seeing people in the middle, and then I'm seeing people like me on the other side where it's changing them. Mm. So it's cute. Like, even my best friend, she goes to another church. A more conservative church than ours, but we met the other week, and I started talking to her about the Awe of God book.
Yeah.
During that conversation, she probably talked, 75% of the time, and then she's just like, Dale, what's new at your church? So I started telling her about it, and she's like, I want it. Mm-hmm. So her birthday's coming up in May, so I said, okay, I'm going to buy you the book and then the streaming video book.
Nice.
So I'm excited. So the whole series, I just feel the Holy Spirit on it. So that's why I'm so excited. I feel like there's more life at church, right? Because we're talking about the fullness of God. But there's something about he's reigniting us to like fan the flame of his goodness and of the gospel. So like I'm super excited about Good Friday. Mm. So I encourage everybody to come to Good Friday, April 18th, Friday at the Kingdom Center from 7 to 9, and then Easter Sunday too. And I just encourage everybody to just from now till Easter, man, just pray for your loved ones because we want to bring them all to be in that river of God. And when a couple of you guys talked about the river of God, Kyle, you did, and Pastor Sam as well. That's where I was focusing, like the fear of God and the love. We want to stay in that river. Those two things keep us in that river, and that river is life. You're refreshed. You're re-energized. That's where I'm at with the awe of God is I'm in that river of God.
Yeah, and as you were talking, it just really brought to mind, too, you know, one of the themes for this year is wholehearted surrender, right? And so as we grow in our fear of the Lord, and especially kind of in light of one of the benefits of like the fear that eliminates all other fears, it's like we're more in a better place that we can surrender our whole self to Him because we know how big He is, as well as knowing how loving He is, right? So that's where we need the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord. So then we can say, yes, Lord, you are so big. You can take care of all these things, but you're also so loving. So I can trust you that I can give my whole self to you.
This is an audio podcast, but for those listening, Dale's passion is coming through as she's talking. Her hand motions, her body, she is very passionate about this. I love it because I felt like what I was going to say is even at our staff things, I love hearing that you laid it down and that you were okay with where it went, yet God was still bringing the passion that you had for it through. And it was contagious of like, okay, there's something more behind this. Even as we got into it, it's like, okay, a week into it, you get a taste of it, but the way you were describing it, it's like, oh no, there's more coming. And then obviously there is. So thank you for championing.
I thought you were going to say that she's trying to get Pastor Barry back for the times that he waves his arms at her in staff meetings. Oh.
Well, that's a whole nother story.
No, the thing with that, what Damon mentioned, is when we have our directors or staff meetings, I always sit right next to Barry because he's my hubby and I love him very much. But he's very expressive with his hand motion. So half the time I feel like he's going to slap my face with his hand.
Pastor Barry has exceptional spatial awareness. Yeah. He knows.
I have never hit her in the face yet. Come close.
Yes. But you have very good awareness of where your hands are going.
But now I'm smart. I leave a seat between us so he can do hand motions the whole time.
So I thought she was just trying to get him back today.
She has her own passion. It just comes out like she's up and down. She's moving around. She's into it, but her hands are staying calm. All right, where are you going to lead us out of that one, Damon? Way to go.
You're the one talking, so I thought you were going to lead us out.
So Dale, so that I wanted to get your perspective on how things have gone, but is there something from the book, the material that's either like been really impactful for you, or even like what we asked Pastor Barry, is there still something that, wow, this one is harder to chew on, or this one is harder for me to grasp?
Yeah, I think the chapter for me that was challenging, I felt like they were all challenging in different ways, mm-hmm. was the chapter 5, the intimacy with God. Mm-hmm. I think because it was saying that it's a two-way street where both parties need to know each other's innermost desires and thoughts. And I feel like sometimes with me, he mentions this. He says, on page 212, if any of you want to look at it, he says, how many believers today only know God by answered prayers? The relationship with Him is more transactional, not intimate. They know His words, but not His heart. Scripture often seems like rules in historical stories, or it's used merely as a source of inspiration. So I think that really challenged me in my own faith with God. I love spending time with Him every day, but a lot of times when my prayers are praying for people's needs. Mm-hmm. So when he talked about, right, your intimacy with the Lord, it's really a two-way street. It's not just you telling Him everything going on in your life or other people's lives, but it's really like getting to know His heart. And so I think that one really challenged me, is like, no, I want to get to know God's heart for Him, not for all the benefits and all the awesome things. He has heaven for me. It's like, no, I want to get to know God for Him, not for all the things He pours into me. So that was a good challenge.
Yeah, I thought kind of similarly to that, it was challenging for me when he brought up the verses that say, you know, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these great things in your name? And then Jesus turns and says, get away from me, I never knew you, right? And it's like, whoa, because right? It says these people are doing these things in Jesus' name, right? So they're doing it from our perspective as believers, because why would they do it in Jesus' name if they weren't a believer? But then Jesus turns and says, get away from me, I never knew you. It's like, there's a different type of intimacy that he's talking about. And I was really wrestling with that, because it's like, okay, has the picture that we've been given of what Christianity is like, is that the picture that we've been given growing up in the church? Or has it been, we got to do all these things in Jesus' name, we got to do this and this and this? Or is there a different level of intimacy that has been presented to us. And I think as a church, I think that's where it's been cool, you know, having Pastor Barry as our leader, because he's been trying to take us to those places of intimacy. You know, that's one reason that he has his class on hearing God's voice, right? Is so that we can hear the Lord's voice, because the Lord is wanting to speak to us. He wants to have that type of relationship with us. So he's trying to take us to that place where, you know, when we get to that time, Jesus says, I knew you and you knew me. And not just you did things for me, right? And I think that was really something I was wrestling with and challenged by when he brought that up in the book.
Yeah, I think following up with that, I think the Lord's been really impressing on me John 17 again. Mm-hmm. And in fact, verse 3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So right there, Jesus in his prayer defines eternal life as knowing God and knowing Jesus. And then later on, he talks about the whole end game of this whole thing is oneness with God. It's oneness. It's, you know, in all ways. And God inviting us into the oneness that is shared by the Trinity. So it's not about, I mean, the whole thing about fearing the Lord and obedience, it's so that we can be in alignment with him to understand and know him better and go into deeper relationship. And it's all about that relationship and oneness. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting the head nod from Damon. I don't really have that much, but I had a thought now, it just went away. It totally went away. I thought I was going to come back. All right, Damon, back to you.
Well, I think that's something that I appreciate about our church that is a little different than, you know, the way that I grew up. You know, we used to talk about having a relationship with God and things like that, but a lot of it was based upon, you know, your relationship with God is good if you're doing your quiet times and you're reading your Bible and you're doing XYZ, right? But at Catalyst, what we've been doing and what we've been exploring is, like, is that really a relationship with the Lord, or is there more? Mm-hmm. Are we able to hear his voice? Are we able to be in alignment with what he wants? Is our will in alignment with his will? The way that Jesus says, you know, like, not my will, but your will, right? Are we aligning ourselves in that way? And there's just so much more to this relationship than just us doing certain things. And I really appreciate that about the direction of our church and the way that we are really seeking after that. And, you know, that's one reason that we have at the New Kingdom Center, we have the throne room so that people can come into the Lord's presence and be with him and hear his voice in a place that's dedicated for that, where we're, you know, like we've been talking about, putting God in his right place. We're dedicating a space just for him, right? And so that when we come into this place, it's a holy place, right? So, you know, we said no shoes in there, right? And things like that, just so that we can identify it as some, this is a place that's unique. This is a place that's dedicated just for the Lord, right? And so I think just examples of things like that, that we've been impressed upon and trying to step into as a church, it's really like, whoa, this is different, but it's really cool because of the direction that we're going so that we can have that oneness with the Lord.
So Pastor Barry, do you see this series and this, this topic shaping the direction that maybe not just for this year, but could be for this year, or just the way the Lord is leading us as a church, in the future?
Yeah, it's interesting because, several people have talked to me about, or what are we going, how are we going to follow up with the series? Yeah. Or, you know, someone talked to me, that I didn't expect. And he told me, oh, he feels like he needs to go through another 40 days of reading the book again because there's more that the Lord wants to do. Mm. And so, and I think my thought and my response was, oh, yeah, no, this is going to be something we're going to continue to revisit. And I think it's bringing a greater healthy balance to our church. And so, I think we're going to continue to visit it in different ways. And then, in fact, the end of April, we're going to do
May.
May? Oh, end of May, we're going to do a Bring a Friend series. Mm. And I've been toying with different things or talk about like dealing with stress, something like felt need or whatever. But I think going through this series, I really felt like, oh, it seems like people have a lot of questions about heaven. Mm. What's heaven like? And then related to that, judgment and rewards and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. And so, so we're going to do at least a couple of week series on on heaven and afterlife and what's that like. And I know that's been kind of like one of the hot topics in our church and from the book is the whole thing of rewards. Right. And
here we go. All right. Give us your answer.
Yeah. So we're going to segue to that. Right?
I thought we weren't going to talk about that today,
here we go.
Here we go.
So, I think for me, I've actually wrestled with that from the book. And there's actually, I think in John Bevere, in what he writes, again, a lot of it is so good. But one of the things I've struggled with is his teaching and take on rewards. And I believe there's rewards. I think it's biblical, but I've almost got a sense in different parts of his book where he alludes to this idea that rewards, there's an eternal impact of what we do in terms of our rewards. And it's going to determine like our role and responsibility in heaven mm-hmm. for eternity. Mm-hmm. So there's almost a sense like, oh, you better do good now so that when you get to heaven before the Lord, then you get a good place. But I don't know. It's almost like someone's going to be in a little tiny house or a little shack and someone's going to be in a mansion. And I heard you guys talking earlier, someone's going to be like a pooper scooper in heaven and, you know, and all of that. And I don't know. That just doesn't exactly sit in the right place with me when I think about that. And I heard you talking about it earlier, Damon, when you're talking with Dale about that issue and sharing and getting Pastor Sam's perspective. But and what you shared, what Pastor Sam shared, is very similar to what I think, mm-hmm. My perspective. It's this whole idea of earning rewards and heavenly rewards for our own benefit to improve us or to mm-hmm. secure our eternal mm-hmm. career in heaven or something. I don't know, that just doesn't sit right with me in terms of my just total whole view of God and who our relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And because I know, and Damien, I know I heard you kind of mention it, it's when I think of crowns, like and I'll probably talk about this in the sermon series mm-hmm. on heaven, but I think there's five different crowns that are spoken of in the Bible. And it seems like all believers or most believers, except for the martyr crown, will get a crown. Mm-hmm. But I relate it to Revelations that says, you know, that there's that vision of the elders laying there and casting mm-hmm. their crowns down before the Lord to honor and worship him. And for me, that's like the heart. That's what the rewards are all about. Mm-hmm. It's to just give back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And because all of the rewards is because of what he's done in and through us. Mm-hmm. And because of the gifts he's given us, or because even him giving us life and giving us the ability to do things, giving us a mind to think. So it all belongs to him. Mm. And that's going to be, that's the joy of having rewards. It's not for our own benefit, but it's to give honor and greater honor and glory to the Lord in that. Mm. So, I don't know if he explicitly says it, but you kind of get that flavor in different parts mm-hmm. of the book, which I'm like, I don't know if I really agree with that mm-hmm. because, the motivation of spiritual rewards for our own benefit in heaven is just like, but it's really about, I think, being able to offer this back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that when we talked about it before, too, I think that's the word that was key, was motivation. If it becomes your motivation, it's definitely not coming from the right place. But it's hard to wrestle with because it's mentioned and it's a fact. Mm-hmm. I believe it's part of what heaven is, but I don't know how it plays out. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's not so much about how it's going to benefit me, but it's also, for me, in some ways, it's an encouragement, and it's a way to, see past difficult times, knowing that some of that those difficulties are coming from following the Lord, and there's going to be a reward for that. And I can, and I'm okay even just knowing up to that point and not even trying to think, okay, what is that reward? What's it going to mean? What I can let that go, but yet, okay, but for right now, I know that gives me a hope that there's something greater that's going to come of this. And maybe I'll get some of it in this life, but there's also, there's going to be rewards in heaven for things that we aren't rewarded for now. And I'm like, cool, that helps me get past it. But I can tell, I can see if I start going down that vein of, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Wow, I can get off in a really difficult place to process with. But I think I mentioned when we were talking about this too, there's like Jesus was asking the disciples, like, can you sit in the judgment seat? You know, like be, so there's different, or he said that they were going to sit and judge the tribes or something like that too. And so there's these different positions and I'm like, I don't want that reward. Like that, I'm not qualified for that. So I think there's some, when we get there too, there's going to be, oh wow, I'm glad that person's in that role or that position because I'm not worthy to be there. Or I'm not qualified. You know, like the parable of the talents too. It's like, we're not all created equal with the equal amount of abilities, but what do we do with them? Just do the best you can and do the best that God blessed you with. So I know that doesn't really answer of what it is, but for me, I'm able to just kind of let it go. And it's funny because when you were describing that, like how you can read that into his writing, I definitely can see that, but I can also get past it and see like a different aspect that he's trying to get across, but I can see how it can come across in an unhealthy way. I don't think that's his motivation and his thing, but I can definitely see how it's interpreted that way.
Yeah. Sometimes he's trying to search for examples, right?
Yes.
Analogies or examples. Yes. And maybe that analogy carries some of the other stuff that he's not really intending it to carry.
Yeah.
Because what I'm picking up from you, Kyle, it's the thing about rewards, when you think about it, is it helps us to maintain an eternal perspective.
Yes. Right?
So in this life, we know that our life is short. And there's an eternity there, and that helps us to live that way.
This guy's got awesome insight. No, because I really growing up, that was one of the transformational phrases is eternal perspective for me, because I had to have that to get through some things. Like if I was just in the here and now, it's like it's hopeless or it's too difficult or I can't do it. And I think that's what helped me even like having that. You know, I don't have to know the answer, but I know there's an eternal perspective with it that can keep me from getting overwhelmed or like succumb to like the present. So,
yeah, wow. That there's, I mean, Jesus says we're going to have trials and suffering,
right?
So it helps us to get through the earthly suffering.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you have something, Dale?
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a number of things that any author writes in a book that you're supposed to just kind of align it to scripture. So everybody's going to write something or speak something that might be a little bit off, but you just kind of align it back to scripture. So for me, when I read certain things, I just read it, but I don't take it to like, it's not the word of God. It's not. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of dust it off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I understand about the rewards. And then another thing that the only last thing I was going to say is a lot of things in the Bible that we don't know is a mystery. He even says that.
Sure.
Like it's a mystery. Yep. It's not for us to know every little detail that our small brains can comprehend. So a lot of things that I don't get or I don't understand, yet, like you, it's easy for me to kind of let it go because I thought, well, I'm not God, right? So, so a lot of things in the Bible are a mystery. Mm-hmm. So we can't comprehend everything, and I just feel peace about that too.
I do want to give a shout out to Pastor Sam and his new book that's going to be coming out. As Pastor Barry had alluded, that we'd been talking about some of Pastor Sam's perspectives, and I got it from actually being able to read an early copy of his book. And so of some of these things that we're talking about.
Is it a book or is it devotional?
It's a devotional. It's actually a 12-week devotional. Yeah. And so you have to kind of get through all the way to the end, because in week 11 and week 12, he does address some of these topics that we're talking about in terms of rewards. And it's I don't know if Pastor Barry read it or not, but as he was talking, I was like, is this like word for word out of Pastor Sam's book? But just the perspectives on it is very similar. And you know, I was wrestling with this because as we've been talking about the rewards for the past few weeks, just I've been wrestling with it for myself too. And one of the days I felt compelled, and I could tell the story another time, but I felt compelled to read those weeks from Pastor Sam's book, and it really helped me to understand a better picture of what the rewards looks like, because I think John Bevere approaches it from one perspective, and I think Pastor Sam gives just a more well-rounded perspective on what it looks like. And so it was really helpful for me. So if you want to know more, check out his book when it comes out. It should be coming out early summer or late spring, early summer. He's in the final stages of getting it ready to go. But one of the things that I really felt like I wanted to share on the podcast regarding that, and especially with rewards, is he talks about at the judgment seat, there's the fire that burns everything up, and it's revealed for what it truly is, right? And the things that were worthless will be burned away, and the things that are eternal will stay. The way that Pastor Sam talks about it is there's a lot of things that we do that are prompted or in alignment with the Lord, and there's a lot of things that we do in our flesh, right? So we could be doing things that are for the Lord, but we're doing it from a fleshly perspective, or we're doing it out of our own strength. And the way that he talks about is really those are some of the things that are going to get burned away, because that's when our motivation isn't correct, or that's when we're doing it because we're trying to get a reward, or we're trying to do things in our own, out of our own flesh. But it's really when we're aligned with the Lord and we're prompted by him and we're doing it out of his strength, out of his spirit, those are the things that are going to be eternal, because he's eternal and we're doing it through the power of his spirit. And those are the things that are going to last. So really, for us, it's not a striving thing, right? And I think that's where some of this issue with rewards comes, because it's, oh, I need to do more for the, I need to earn my rewards. But really, it's more the perspective that Pastor Sam has, is it's more from a place of rest, because we're really doing it out of the power of the Spirit and his prompting. So we're really doing it. Actually, he's the one that's doing it. And so when we do give our crowns back to him, we're really just giving him what was already his, because we did all these things through him. So that was really helpful for me. Hopefully it's helpful for everybody else, but that was really helpful for me.
I think it's a reminder too that even words in our society have certain meanings, and then if we take that and apply it to biblical concepts, it can kind of skew things or get us off course. Like even rewards, I was trying to think, I looked up the Greek word and some, and it's rewards. It uses a couple other words that could be translated, but still it doesn't seem like it helps. But I think it's more like phrases they use, and then I think it gives a different kind of connotation. So just remember, there's certain things that we hear and we take it with our society, with our upbringing. Certain words have certain meanings, and then that can filter when we read the Bible. So be careful. And if you're wrestling with something, start looking deeper of, okay, why is this, what is it about this word? And then maybe the Lord can reveal to you like, oh, it's just you're viewing it from this experience you had, or this wounding, or this, you know, this view. So it's not uncommon for us, right? We've been over the last few years talking about that a lot, about definitions, getting clarity in interpersonal relationships and making sure you're understanding the word the same way. And I think a lot of it too is with reading the Bible, making sure the translations, and sometimes it sounds great and it's easier to read and it makes more sense in our English language, but it misses out on some of what the actual meaning was in its intent.
Yeah, I wanted to just say a word too, just to our whole Catalyst family or whoever might be listening, that when we went into this material, I think just we had some good discussions on staff, and we knew there's going to be some things that we're going to have to wrestle with, and people are going to have to wrestle with. There might be some stuff that people disagree with, but that didn't shy us away from this, because we felt like the topic and the material and the discussion that would come out of it would be good and healthy and would grow, which I think it has. Yeah. But I just wanted to say to everyone, like, you know, my philosophy, I don't want to just bring people we agree with, bring everything we agree with, and be like an echo chamber where we only hear things that reinforce what we already believe. We want to be challenged. We want to develop discernment, critical thinking, and that's on us to develop that discernment and critical thinking. Even the Bible talks about when someone gives you a word, you have to test it. Mm-hmm. It's on us to test. So I like it that we don't agree with everything. Mm-hmm. And if you disagree with a message of mine, I'm not offended. You just, you know, that's healthy. That's good. And you just get in there in the word and dig into it more. And even in our interpersonal relationships, right? We don't want to, like I've talked about, carry false harmony, mm-hmm. pretend we agree when we don't agree. We want to be able to bring all of that to the light, to share in a healthy way, in a loving way, and have those discussions, you know, emotionally healthy spirituality, right?
Yep.
Have those, know how to communicate. And so I think that just makes all of us stronger, makes our faith stronger, makes our convictions and beliefs stronger. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I actually remember when we were not necessarily voting, but all giving our opinions whether we should do this as an all church thing. And I remember you specifically saying, there's things in here I don't necessarily agree with or I'm still wrestling with, but I think we should still pursue this. So I appreciate you taking us into that place and wanting us to be in the middle of that tension. Mm-hmm. It's healthy.
Would you like to give us, I mean, we're getting to a point where we're getting close to wrapping up. Yeah. Would you like to give us a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be talking about for the Heaven series as we start thinking about who to invite for our Bring a Friend Sundays? I think it would be good for people to have maybe a little taste of what you're thinking about.
To be honest, I haven't thought too much. I got a couple of books I'm going to be looking at. But the one thing I could say is, I think most people's view of heaven, it's probably not close to what the Bible reveals in the parts it does. I think heaven is going to be a lot more, in a sense, like heaven on earth. Mm. It's going to be the new earth. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, we're going to be doing a lot of the same things in some ways that we experience life on earth. But it's going to be very different because of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. But it's not going to be us sitting. It's not going to be boring.
We're not going to be sitting on clouds.
Yeah, we're going to be sitting on clouds, you know, singing worship songs 24/7. It's 24/7 hours a day. So I think we're going to look into that. So, and some of the things I even shared today, it might be, I might say, oh, I changed my mind when we get to that. But I think there's a lot of curiosity for Christians and non-Christians about that. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good series.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah, me too. Because that's where we're going to live for eternity. So.
I know.
Okay, Dale, so as we're wrapping up this series, are there any closing thoughts that you have for our church family regarding Awe of God or... How would you like to wrap up our series?
No, for me, it's just seeking his presence. That's all we're doing with the love of God and the fear of God. It's just seek his face, seek his presence because of his deep love for all of us.
I'm good.
Well, I'm pointing at you because normally I start the closing and then you jump in.
I know, that's what I'm waiting for.
So I want to give you a chance before we get to that point
I'm excited that, like what Barry said, that we're going to be bringing this back, you know, time to time. It's going to be like things that are topics that we're going to wrestle with more. And it's good.
Yeah, I think it helps us to go deeper into the presence of the Lord when we don't just focus on the love of God, but we focus on both because we want to know all of him, not just a part of him, right? And so I think that's one of the things that's been highlighted about this series is we're getting a more full picture and a more full understanding and a more full experience of who the Lord is. And he wants us to know all of him and not just one side. And so I think that's been something that's special about going through Awe of God. So thanks again, Amen. Pastor Barry and Dale, for coming on. We appreciate you guys coming on to the podcast and... You know, we'd like to have you guys come back on.
We should have Dale announce when Pastor Barry's going to come back on next, so that way he's going to be back on in the future. Okay, sorry, that was.
And I do want to give an encouragement to our church family out there that are wrestling with this content. You know, it isn't easy, but I just commend the people that are, that know it's hard and know it's difficult, but you guys are still persevering and still going through it. I just really commend you, and I just want you to keep going, push through. You know, the Lord will reveal what he wants to reveal as you wrestle, as you continue. But I feel very honored to be a part of a group of people and a part of a church family that even when it's difficult, they persevere. So I know some of you guys have shared that it's difficult, and but you're still going through it. So keep it up, keep going through, and the Lord will reveal what he wants for you.
Try to wrestle in community. Yeah. When you can. It's hard to wrestle by yourself because these things are not easy. So yeah, reach out to people and ask them what they think.
Or you can always email us and we'll talk about it on the podcast. Or you can always come on the podcast. So we had to throw that in there. Yep. We are always looking for guests. So if you want to come on, especially if you haven't been on before, we'd love to have you and have a discussion with you. So thanks again to everyone for listening. We will catch you next time. And until then, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.